but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll catch fish, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Praise God. That's a cool story. And this morning, as I just got on my notes here, you'll see behind me there's a picture of a schoolboy. And I want to take you on a journey with me this morning. Hands up who's in school now. There's a few people in school now, yeah? Hands up who's been to school, who's left school. That's pretty much everybody. So everybody at some point in their journey has been to school. Just like me, just like that guy there. And you will probably know, or you might even remember, that in class, in maths class, not too sure if that was your favorite subject. Everybody has their favorite subject when in the school. But in maths class, you may have learned about angles. And there's three angles that I remember. There's a right angle, which is 90 degrees. It's straight up and straight across. An obtuse angle. Who remembers what that one is? It's more than 90 degrees, isn't it? And an acute angle is less than 90 degrees. And you say, "Here, look, what are you talking about angles for?" You see, when you come to Scripture, and when you come to interpreting stories, passages, Scripture, it's all about angles. It's all about the angle that you see it from. You see, some things in Scripture, they're right angles, in the sense that it's straight up, straight across, there's no movement on it. Jesus died and rose again. That's a right angle. God's love for you and for me is an obtuse angle because it's wide. It's wide. And an acute angle is narrow. You see, Jesus, he's the only way. It's narrow in that sense that he's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to the Father. And this morning what I want to do is, I want to have a look at one story, which is the story that I've just read. But I want to look at it from three different angles. You see, sometimes you read a story and you see it from one angle. You think, "Oh, yeah, I can understand that," because you're seeing it from a particular angle. But this morning, I want to present to you one story from three particular angles. And at the end of the story and at the end of the talk, I'm going to ask you to choose one that relates to you. Will we do this? Will we? Let's do it. Praise the Lord. And so this morning, the story is all about Peter. He's a fisherman. And so angle number one, when I read this story a number of months ago, and I've shared these thoughts with you, that particular story from one particular angle is all about emptiness. It's all about emptiness. You say, "Well, what do you mean it's all about emptiness?" You see, the story goes that Peter had been out fishing and he'd been working hard all night and he caught no fish. And if you're a fisherman and you catch no fish, sure, that's not good, is it? Every fisherman or every fisher lady, they want to catch fish. But the story tells us that he'd been working hard all night and he caught no fish. And that's not good. If you're a fisherman, you want to have some fish. And so what that means really is that he had empty nets because he had no fish. And if he had empty nets, that means that he had empty pockets. You say, how does he have empty pockets? Because if you have no fish, you've got no fish to sell. Because that's what fishermen do, don't they? They catch the fish, they bring it back in onto the boat, and then they sort out it into different kinds, and then they sell it to make a living. And so empty nets means empty pockets. He has no fish to sell. He has no money coming in. And so there's no money, there's no finances coming in. And so empty nets means empty pockets. And if you have empty pockets, that means you've got empty cupboards because you've got no money to buy any food. So here is a man who has empty nets and he has empty pockets, and it's possible that he has an empty cupboard with no food in because he has no money to buy any food. Empty nets, empty pockets, empty cupboard, he has no food. And if he has an empty cupboard with no food, then he has an empty tummy. Means he's hungry on the inside. And so when I look at that story, and I remember a couple of months ago reading that story, I thought to myself, that story is all about emptiness. Empty nets leads to empty pockets. Empty pockets means empty cupboards. Empty cupboards means empty tummy. It means that he's empty on the inside. That's what that story is all about. It's all about emptiness. When Jesus met Simon Peter for the first time, he was an empty man. Yes, he had lots of things in his life to fill his life. Like he had partners and he had friends and he had a boat and he had a role and he had a title and he had a position in the community and all of those things that would fill his life. But he was empty on the inside. And so when you look at that particular story from that particular angle, one could say, sure, that's all about emptiness. In fact, it's not only about emptiness, because it's also about being full. Because when he launched out again, he had full nets. And so the story is that when we came to Jesus, or when Jesus came to us, we were empty on the inside. But Jesus has filled us with his Spirit. And so if anybody ever finds themselves in a position where they feel a little bit empty on the inside, all they've got to do is say, Lord, will you fill me with your Spirit? And he will fill you with his Spirit again. Because it's a journey where we are being filled and then we got a little bit empty. And then we ask him to fill us again and then we got a little bit empty. And so this is continual. And so if you were to look at that story from one particular angle, you'd say it's all about emptiness. Ah, bless the Lord. Are you with me? Yeah. Will we want angle number two? Will we have a look at it from a different angle and say what somebody might say about this story? This story, if you were to ask somebody, hey, Luke chapter 5, the story about Jesus in the boat and Peter's been out working and he catches no fish, and then Jesus asks him to launch out again and he catches loads of fish, and what's that story all about? If you were to ask somebody that, do you know what they may say? That story is all about being teachable. You are. They might say to you that, no, that story, it's all about being teachable. And you say to them, well, how did you get that like? And they may say, well, when Jesus asked him to kind of put out into the deep water, launch his nets out for a catch again, you know, he would have been feeling a little bit down and a little bit disappointed because he'd already worked hard the previous night and he caught nothing. And so he's in this zone of feeling a little bit down, a little bit disappointed. But yeah, he does it. And he's willing to kind of engage with Jesus. He's willing to listen and take on board what Jesus is saying to him. He's willing to learn whatever it is that Jesus is teaching him. And so from one particular angle, some might say, well, that story is all about being teachable. That Simon Peter has a willingness to learn. He has a willingness to engage with the Lord. He has a willingness to learn what it is that Jesus is teaching him. And so it's all about being teachable. And the evidence of that is that he serves the Lord and he does what Jesus asks him. Even though he may feel a little bit, I don't really feel like doing, but I'm going to do it anyway because you're asking me. And when you think about these things, having a willingness to learn, that's a good thing. Lots of people like to learn new things, especially when it's absolutely really new to you. Have you ever learned something that you've never known before and it feels good? You think, oh yeah, I've learned that. But Peter was willing to learn in an area that he knew much about, which was fishing. And sometimes it's hard to learn new things in the area in which you have a lot of experience in. And so that's where we see that, yeah, Peter, he was a fisherman. He had experience in fishing. He knew about fishing. But he was willing to engage. He was willing to learn that which Jesus was teaching him in that moment and on that day. He was willing to serve. And so what you find is that learning and serving go hand in hand together. If you want to learn something in the kingdom of God, don't be surprised if God gives you an opportunity to serve. Because it's through serving that we learn. It's one aspect of learning. I remember reading this some time ago. It said, and it really struck a chord in my heart. It says this, if serving is below you, then leadership is beyond you. I thought, yeah, that's so true. If serving is below you, then leadership is beyond you. Because serving is all about engaging with the Lord. It's all about listening and trying to understand, oh, what is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to go? Now, Peter, on that particular day, he hadn't got anything in mind in terms of leadership. That wasn't part of what he was thinking that day. Later on, we know from the story of Scripture that he went on to become one of the leaders. But on that particular day, in that particular moment, he was willing to learn. Having a willingness to learn is about being teachable. I suppose when you look at what he did, he was willing to give it a go. It also highlights what he didn't do. You see, what he could have done, which he didn't do, was say no, like, well, Jesus, I'm the fisherman, you're the preacher man. What would you know about fishing? Actually, you know, don't be telling me to kind of launch out again. Like, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, I had a bit of a bad night last night and it didn't really kind of all come together for me. But hey, don't be like, I know more about fishing than you do, Jesus. He could have actually taken that high moral stance and said, no, hey, I know about fishing. You know about preaching and teaching and religious and holy stuff. You know, you don't be telling me anything about fishing. I won't tell you how to do your job. He could have actually taken that stance, but he didn't. And the reason that he didn't is because he was teachable. He was willing to engage with the Lord. And I suppose what he could have done, which he didn't do, was another thing. He could have taken 4 steps back into the crowd and removed himself from the whole situation and just kind of hidden himself amongst the crowd so that he doesn't have to kind of engage with Jesus. He doesn't have to talk to Jesus. He doesn't have to kind of be the focal point. He could have just kind of tried to get back to the crowd and just kind of mingle, and at least he could come to the conclusion of, well, at least Jesus is in my boat. And that's happy for me. I'm happy with that. At least he's in my boat. I'm happy that he's in my boat, but don't be asking me to do anything, Lord. Don't be asking me to get involved or to do anything else. Look, no, I'm happy over here with the crowd. Just leave me alone. He could have done that, but he didn't. He didn't hide himself amongst the crowd. He didn't take this moral high stance and think, hey, you can't teach me anything. And the reason why he didn't do those things is because right from the word go, right from the get-go, Peter, he's teachable. This was his first introduction to Jesus, his first induction into the ministry, if you want to call it. And right in that story, from that particular angle, you could say, it's all about being teachable. And so, from one particular angle, you could say it's all about being empty. From another particular angle, you could say it's all about being teachable. But there's one more angle I want to share with you. And it's the third angle. And the angle is, it all revolves around verse 5. You see, in verse 4 and 5, it says this. When he had finished speaking, this is Jesus. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon Peter answered, "But we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Listen to these words. "But because you say so, I will." But because you say so, I will. If you forget everything else this morning, remember those words. But because you say so, I will. You see, it's there in black and white that Peter, and the reason why he gave it another go, the reason why he launched out, the reason why he put down his nets for a catch, was not because he was trying to please himself. If he wanted to please himself, he'd be off in Barbados somewhere, just kind of doing nothing, taking life at its leisure, you know. He wasn't there about pleasing himself. Sure, he tried to please himself the previous night when he went out fishing, he caught nothing. The third angle is all about pleasing. And Peter said, "Because you say so, I will." He wanted to please the Lord. He wanted to give it another go. "Because you say so, I will." See, Peter, he wasn't about pleasing the crowd. And he wasn't about pleasing his partners and anyone else that was there. He says it. "The reason I'm going to give it another go, the reason why I'm going to launch out, the reason why I'm going to give it another try is not because I want to please myself, and it's not because I want to please the crowd, and it's not because I want to please my partners. It's because you say so. I will. It's because you say so, Jesus. Not because of anyone else." Oh. Recently I heard a story. Going to share this story with you. You may have heard it before. It's a story about pleasing people. And the story is all about an old man and a young boy and a donkey. There's a story that goes about an old man, a young boy and a donkey, and they're on a journey. And the three of them are walking on a journey. And as the three of them are walking on this journey, they come to a village. And in that village is a group of people. And when they get to the village, the group of people begin to criticize the old man, the young boy, and the donkey. They say, "Hey, that's a bit foolish, isn't it? That's a bit stupid, isn't it? You have a good donkey there, and none of you are actually sitting on the back of the donkey. He could be carrying you." And so the old man looks at the young boy, and the young boy looks at the old man. They say, "Hey, maybe they could be right." And so the old man gets on the back of the donkey, and he begins to ride the donkey while the young boy is walking, and they set off on their journey. They're going on their journey. The young boy is walking. The old man is on the back of the donkey. And lo and behold, they come to another village. And in that village is a group of people. And the group of people begin to criticize the old man and the young boy, and they say, "Hey, you're a bit lazy, aren't you, old man? You're a bit lazy making that young boy walk all of that time on his by himself. It's a bit lazy, isn't it?" And so the old man looks at the young boy and he thinks, "Oh, maybe they're right." And so what they do is they swap positions. And so the young boy gets on the back of the donkey, the old man gets off the donkey, and they start off on their journey again. And they're walking, and lo and behold, you've guessed it, they head towards another village, and in that village is a group of people. And you know it, the group of people begin to criticize the old man and the young boy. They say, "Hey, look, that's absolutely terrible. The old man is walking, the young boy is on the back of the donkey. That donkey has enough strength and capability to carry the boat to us. And they begin to criticize. And so the old man, the young boy, they look at each other and they say, hey, maybe they're right. And so what they begin to do is the two of them get on the back of the donkey. And so the old man is riding the donkey and the young boy is on behind them. And they're going on their journey again. Oh, it's a long journey. And you know what's going to happen. They're heading towards another village. And in that village is another group of people. And when they get to the village, the group of people begin to criticize the old man and the young boy. They say, that's an absolute disgrace. That's cruelty to that donkey. In this day and age, the two of you on the back of that donkey, what were you ever thinking about? Like, that's absolutely terrible. It's animal cruelty. That's what it is. Ah, so, And so, the old man looks at the young boy, and the young boy looks at the old man. And they say, hey, maybe they could be right. So there's only one more thing we can do. So the both of them decide to carry the donkey. So the old man gets the front legs of the donkey, puts it on his shoulder. The young boy grabs the hind legs of the donkey, puts it over his shoulder. And the two of them start off on their journey again. This time the both of them are carrying the donkey. And so as they're going on their journey, they see a village up ahead. And in order to get to the village, they have to cross a big bridge. And below this bridge is a fast-flowing river. And so there they are going on their journey. They have the donkey on their shoulders. And as they're crossing the bridge, the young boy loses grip of the donkey's legs. And then the donkey is too heavy for the old man. He loses his grip. The donkey falls overboard down into the river, drowns, and dies. What's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is this. If you try and please everybody, you might as well kiss your jackass donkey goodbye. You cannot live your life trying to please everybody. It cannot be your aim or my aim, where our goal is to try and please everybody all the time. It cannot be done. Many people make it their aim to try and please everybody. You cannot do it. Somebody once sang a song and the lyrics were, you can please some people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all of the time. When you look at the story of Luke chapter 5, from one particular angle, you can see that Peter was all about pleasing. But he wasn't about pleasing the crowd. He wasn't about pleasing himself. He wasn't about pleasing his partners. He wasn't interested in pleasing everybody. But he was interested in pleasing one. And that was Jesus. And the words that are evident of it are, because you say so, I will. You see, Peter had a desire in his heart, even on that very first day, that he wanted to please the Lord. And so he did. Because you say so, I will. And so what you have in this particular story is three angles. One story. One angle, it's all about emptiness. It's all about empty people being full. The other angle is, it's all about being teachable in those hard and those difficult times when life is tough and you feel like you've launched out and you've got nothing. But you're willing to engage, you're willing to learn whatever it is that God is teaching you. It's all about being teachable. And then from another particular angle, you see and you think, oh no, it's about pleasing the Lord. It's about pleasing the Lord. And so this morning, as we bring these things together, it's one story, three angles. Which one is you? Are you feeling a little bit empty this morning? Are you feeling that your life is full of many things, many good things, but yet you feel a little bit empty on the inside? If that's you, don't despair. It's okay, because God has given His Holy Spirit to fill you, to fill you back up so that you're full and overflowing with His love and with His grace. Or maybe it is this morning that you're in that zone where life is hard and you've had some disappointments. You feel a little bit down, a little bit discouraged, just like Simon Peter was when he caught nothing. Keep on engaging in the process. God is teaching you some new things. Keep on willing to give it another go, to give it another try, because God is willing to teach you some new things. New things that will thrill your heart. New things that will stir your soul. Just like Simon Peter was willing to give it a go. And this morning, from maybe you're at that particular angle where you've had a time where you've tried to please others, but it's just not working. Don't live your life trying to please everybody all the time. It won't work. But as you look to the Lord your God, as you look to the one who loves you, and you say to him, I'm going to do it because you say so. Not because of anyone else. Not because of those who are in my life or those who are not in my life. Not because of the crowd. Not because of the critics. It's because you say so that I will. That I'll launch out. That I'll give it a go. That I'll launch out into the deep. Which one are you? Which angle do you see this story from? Let's bring these things to a close. Emmy, will you play some background music? During this music, I want you to just to speak to the Lord Jesus. I want you to ask him to fill you if you need filling. Ask him to show you what it is that he's teaching you during these days. Just Lord, again. And if you need to say those words just as Simon Peter did, back to the Lord in response to your life, you can do that. You can say, but because you say so, Lord, I will. I will love. I will forgive. I will go. I will contribute. I will whatever. But because